ready for transformation as you listen to God's word through His servant. For inquiries, contact the Seed Sowers Ministry on 080-666-27754 or 090-5221-6374. Or you can email us at the Seed Sowers Ministry 18@gmail.com. Be blessed as you listen.
So when you find manuscripts and then it says something like that one I talked about, there are three that bear witness on the earth, it's not found in some manuscripts. So King James translation has some verses that NIV don't have. I think maybe Amplified. No, Amplified it has probably newer Amplified. Now NIV, New International Version, is the most accepted now. You know why? It is in our today's English and it stays true to the Greek and Hebrew translation. Now, there's no problem with other versions, but NIV is well revised into. This is theological circles now. You can use Good News, you can use all of those ones. You know, there are some script versions that they paraphrase. Certain things will be lost. Because every translation is trying to find how people will understand it. That's just the idea. And many people who researched into it are professors of Greek and Hebrew language, contributors into biblical history, archaeological facts, and all of that. So, understand that NIV is the closest. So, if you are a Bible teacher, once you read King James, the next you read is NIV. NIV. And then NLT and all of that, they are also very good. But you now begin to have translations like Good News Youth Bible. All those other ones, they have paraphrased a lot. You understand? Certain things will be lost. Do you understand? Now, the scripture you should not use at all for Bible teaching, except you want to cite, is paraphrase Bible. Don't use paraphrase Bible to teach. Base your teaching on King James. Of course, New King James is good because it has removed all the old style of speaking. New King James, NIV. You can read NLT and all of that, cite others. But don't cite paraphrase Bible, except you just want to mention in passing to see how it puts it, like the Message. Message is not a good Bible for teaching. You don't want to teach and you're opening Message. No. Except you just want to look at it. Go and read the history of the translation of Message translation. He's a pastor. If I'm correct, Eugene Peterson also. Go and read the introduction of the Bible of the book of the Message translation. You will have an understanding of what and where you should use that Bible. You know, it's a paraphrase Bible. Living Bible paraphrase too. There's a Living Bible. There's Old Living Bible. And there is the New Living Bible paraphrase. Don't use it. You can cite it in passing, but don't use it. Stay with your King James or New King James, your NIV, your NLT. The Lord will strengthen us in Jesus' name. There are quite a number of things. Amplified. It amplifies King James. So you can stay with the Amplified Bible. Amplify amplifies King James. And stays true to the Hebrew and Greek meaning. Yes, please. It stays true to the Hebrew. It stays true to the Hebrew and to the Greek. Hallelujah. All right. So, looking at it, this is very important. This history of the Bible, I want you to look into it. Please don't be distracted. History of the Bible, look into it. It's very, very key. It helps you to understand. Now, if you look at translations of Bible, there are many. And in English language is so rich that English alone has several translations. Several translations. Alright, I have some pictures here if you care to look at it. I snapped some old Bibles of as far as 1611, 15 something. They are real, the real copy. Yes, I have it here, but I want you to see it. It's good you know how that Bible looks like. The real one, not internet, though. The real Bible that was used centuries ago. They are on my phones. I snapped them. All right. Now, finally, I will not, because there's something else the Holy Spirit told me to emphasize on. Eschatology is the final in our DTM. Eschatology. Lord, please help us, because this part is crucial. Lord, help us. Eschatology. While we are dealing with eschatology, somebody else is dealing with bread. Eschatology. Now, because I love the view of the evangelicals, I will just tell you the main things about eschatology. Now, you will do well to study. I gave you an assignment yesterday. Where is it? Submit, please. I did.
You should find out. I find out, but I didn't write it down.
So where is it? Write it now out and submit it. Since you find out, write it out. If you don't submit, it's part of the mark. I would have. You are not searching your Bible now, you are just submitting. You are not searching your Bible, you are just submitting what you write. Just write it in a plain paper and put it here. Now, please pay attention to what I'm about to read to you. Amen? Okay, write it later. Pay attention to what I'm about to say to you on the eschatological studies. Don't be a Bible teacher. A missionary is a teacher. A missionary should be able to explain. There are so many things that we did not touch in detail. But I'm hoping that your hunger for the Lord will either make you do two things. You will personally search out. You will also ask me questions. One person that I think stands out. Now, I'm not saying this in this is Brother Joseph. He asks a lot of questions. And I'm not saying that to make him feel big. No. But I love that. Matters that are salient in scriptures, he will send it to me. How do we answer that? Sometimes there are some questions, probably I have not answered them. Not because I didn't have answer, but probably I'm so busy. And I remember one of the days that he confronted me that you delay, sir, in asking. I think he said when it comes to ministry, you answer fast. But when it comes to matters like this, you don't answer. And I took that challenge from that day. I think I changed a little. It's a big plus. Salient matters in scriptures, you will ask them, how do we answer this? And it's good, you should keep it up, brother. Now, pay attention to this. It's either you go to study on your own and submit your study, or you ask me as your brother. A missionary should be a student of the Bible. If there's anything I'm begging you to do, is to be a student of the Bible. I'm also trusting God. And Bible is powerful. You know, Bible is powerful. There are scriptures that I've read that I'm reading again. Ha! It's heavy. Bible is fresh. I think if God can take me and you to the level that we preach like the Bible, you know, Bible is a whole book forever fresh. You know, I pray my life will be like that. That I have been speaking, but it's ever fresh if you listen. Let's be like that. Now, the doctrine of eschatology is the doctrine of the last things. Since there's no exam again, I would have said, mark that, because that would be an exam. But if there's no exam again, I know somebody shout hallelujah that there's no exam again. And I know the person. So, eschatology is called the doctrine of the last things. It deals with the last things, the last days, the final hour. Alright? And can this... Eschatology is that branch of theology concerned with the study of last things. Eschatology is a branch of theology that deals with the study of last things. That means what will happen in the future, both to individuals and to the whole world. So Eska, that's last things. So the logi days, the eschato, I mean, it's the last thing. Logi is study. So, that's it. It's a branch of theology. And I want to tell you, there are theologians whose focus and ethic is last things. They are not interested in redemption or whatever. It's that last thing. The things that will happen in the future. And I tell you, you don't want to dabble into the study of last things. It's too huge. Very huge. So, we stay with the evangelicals' understanding. You know why? They base their things on scriptures. You know, we discuss on evangelicalism. And that's why we say the evangelical views. And in my own understanding, I don't know if you agree with me. You may disagree. In my own little understanding, I don't think I have ethic with the last things. My concern should be the main thing. I don't know if you agree. To be wondering and to want to study about the angel whose right leg is on the sea and the left leg is on the land, the symbolic and prophetic meaning is stressful. I think Jesus is our focus. But the little we need to understand about eschatology, let's understand it. Now, pay attention to these are the main issues of eschatology. One, death. These are the main issues. Please, I'm going to rush this because that's not the final message. Just want to rush this. You have to go and read up. Now, raise your questions. And I think the last time I was with my brothers at Idori, we were raising some issues about hell, grief, death. Perfect? Uh-huh. Well, Gideon was there too. So, we didn't finish it that night. The Bible teaches that all humans will die. Hope you know that understanding alone makes you raise two questions. Enoch is a human, didn't die. Elijah was a human, didn't die. So see, those are issues. When you talk about teaching the body of Christ, you want to teach people basically for their life's transformation. Please don't teach people for head knowledge. That's the basic. Now, there is a place where you now teach people for understanding. They need to know. Okay? But 80% of teaching is for transformation. 20% is knowledge. 80. People should be transformed. 20% knowledge. If your knowledge is 80%, it will lead to arrogant people. Knowledge perfect. Now, Hebrews 9:27. The Bible teaches that all. Do you agree to that? Or anybody doubts that all humans will die?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where we're going. All humans will die. The only exceptions will be those still alive when Christ returns. Is it clear now, Brother President? You agree now? That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Physical death. Or the first death. See, please begin to take note of those terms now. Physical death or first death is the separation of the soul from the body. I love this one. They didn't break it in spirit, soul, body. Let's just break it into two. The separation of the soul from the body. Because of the presence of sin in the world, death has come upon everyone. Please, so this part. Which part?
Physical death.
Physical death or the first death is the separation of the soul from the body. Now, please listen to this. This part I'm going into. When you talk about eschatology, number one, death. Number two, the intermediate state. That's the second issue on eschatology. Intermediate state. I'm functioning from David Orton's portable seminar, the master's level overview. Now, intermediate state, please listen to this. We are just discussing. Hear what this says. The intermediate state refers to the condition of the person between the time of death and resurrection. This issue got me into trouble in Plateau State. This is the second issue.
The condition of the person.
Don't write yet, please. Just listen and then write. I will recall it again. The intermediate state refers to the condition of a person between the time of death and resurrection. The tradition, now this is not the issue, this is now where you come to the issue of eschatology. It's big. The traditional orthodox view, what is orthodox? When you hear orthodoxy, what does it mean? Orthodoxy means right doctrine. Orthopraxy, right practice. Your message must be orthodox and orthopraxy. Orthodoxy, when you say orthodox church, you understand? Mm. Those are the churches that stays with the balanced view of scriptures. That's not orthodox church. It's not all these abuse that we call it. Go and check out the churches called orthodox church. And I will, maybe if time is, we'll go back into it. They are very passionate about doctrine. Those are people you see, tenant of faith, tenant of, they are always writing it, stating it. Many of the new generation church, they don't state anything. You just get there, pastor says. You know that's the, hope you know that's the language of new generation church. Pastor said. Orthodox church don't say that. It has to be that the Bible said, corroborating it with scriptural references. That's how you preach in Orthodox churches. You can't stand on an Orthodox platform and not first print out your message. You can't. You must print it out. And it must be vetted. That's Orthodox. Are you following now? There's a way you enter. And your message is printed. Has been vetted. One of the Orthodox churches is the Apostolic Church. If you check convention, there is division of your message already printed. It's not like you're just going to come and say something from the head. Printed. And you must stick to what you printed. That's orthodoxy. Orthopraxy is right practice. When you want to eat the Holy Communion, what is the practice of it in the scripture? Hope you know there are new generation churches that begin to use Holy Communion for prosperity. Yes. That once you eat the Holy Communion, you can use it to ask for your needs. Do you know that? Do you know some people use the Holy Communion now? Once they are eating it, they are using it to ask for their needs. Prosperity and all of that. Are you following me?
Yes.
Now, some have had testimonies from such stuff. Because, be it unto you. According to your faith. But on orthopraxy, how did Jesus break the Holy Communion? On what ground did Jesus break the Holy Communion? On your needs be met? No. Are you following?
So as far as that command
is wrong. That's why we call some things missed. God allows something. You know, church is the body of Christ. God allows something. But by the time you want to raise people in, that's orthopraxy. Jesus did not raise the Holy Communion for needs. Where is the provision for needs? Make your request. If you attach the Holy Communion to needs, it's not orthopraxis. That's hetero. It's wrong. It's multidimensional. It's not auto. That's hetero praxis. And that's heretical. Now, orthopraxy is right. Right practice. Are you following now? How did the apostles raise the issue of the Holy Communion? Anybody raise it? When Brother Paul was talking about the Holy Communion, how did he raise it? He talked about discerning the Lord's body. He brought in the dimension of this is the coming together of the body of Christ. And this is what binds and unites us together. And place it also upon what Jesus said, the death. Those are the two things. The apostles' application was for the bonding together of the unity of the church. And for constant remembrance of the Lord's death. Any issue on healing is a diff. Jesus Christ never practically spoke about healing. Where does healing comes into? The word. You preach healing. You have to preach healing. When you preach the gospel, do you preach healing to it? Yes. Your gospel involves healing. But when it comes to Holy Communion, you say, as long as you do this, you show the Lord's death. So how are people going for Holy Communion now? For their needs also to still be what? So the revelation that binds you to Christ is missing. Autopraxy. That's why you have members, not disciples. Members of churches, not disciples. So you see, when we are dealing with this fact, that's why I said certain things will go in the church. They will go. Please write it down as your brother and as a disciple. What lives and abides forever? Anything that is not autopraxy will what? Sometimes those things stay because founders are still alive by mercy. Watch, when founders will leave, certain things will win. It will win down. Just watch. Because people rush to the Holy Communion, people rush to take the blood because there's a need they have. No, that's not autopraxy. It's not autopraxy. And that's why Orthodox churches, if you have not done water baptism, no, new generation church, you don't need to do water baptism to eat Holy Communion. Do you know that?
Yes.
So if those people that have not even repented of their sins or have been said to be baptized, they take the Holy Communion. Orthodox says you must be saved, you must know the tenets of apostles' teaching and doctrine. You must have been identified as a member of the church. Your name must even be in the register. So know that you're a member. Don't mind all these other abuses too of so-called Orthodox churches. They too, they have abused it. But you understand the word was said. So your name must have been in the church book, because if your name is not there, if you die, we will not bury you. You have to be a member of the church. And to be a member is that you understand the doctrine. So when it comes to the Holy Communion, what happened in our church? They closed door. In fact, it's like those of us that have not really come, we are like sinners. Ha! They will close door. There will be silence. You will see everybody, you know, praying solemn. That's when people remember their iniquity. That's when they are confessing. Because, according to Paul, how can you eat the Lord's body unworthily? My church, the apostle church takes it like, you will hear somebody say, "Are you saying anything to the Holy Communion?" You say, "No, sir. What are you still doing? You have not said anything." That means you are one of your serious fellow of the church. And the same way in Foursquare. So Foursquare, the Apostolic Church, Christ Apostolic Church, even the Baptist, Methodist, deeper, many of those, they are Orthodox churches.
So don't take it in deep, they say it's night. Because it's night.
You see those other ones? Some people go that extreme. That is the Lord's Supper when they are learning. In our church too, when they take it. Is not who will have done combined service. You remember?
Yeah.
Abby?
Yeah.
There will be combined service. After combined service, going to evening nights. That's when they eat it all. That is the Aleni. Ale Oluwa. That's the Lord's Supper. That is night. And our church will take it around 6 going to 7. Those of us that were waiting for our parents, you will just be outside. And they are not fast. Like, no. They are not fast. It has to be quiet. And that's why you see all those old-time people. Don't throw those things away. Of course, we may now say, night does not. Because Jesus said, as long as you do this, not you do this in the night. Jesus clarified it. Jesus didn't say night. He said, as long as you do this, it's about the this, not the night. So that's Orthodox, that's Orthodox. So now listen to this. Now he said the traditional. Now we have the traditional Orthodox. Those are the deep mainline churches. Hope you know we've mentioned Deeper Life and Code Apostolic Church. Now you will not say that they are the redeem and all of that. I don't know. Does redeem do? I think the redeem does that too. No, people don't just eat Holy Communion. Yes, probably yes. Some model parishes.
No, the other way was the one that I don't say you can't take it in the day.
Aha, can you imagine that? Aha. So, so those, Pastor David still belongs to all those traditional Orthodox beliefs. You understand? Those are traditional. They will tell you it has to be like that. Even though the Bible didn't specify night, but they will say no, it has to be that night.
That,
this is a serious one. So traditional Orthodox. Now, on the intermediate state here, the traditional Orthodox view is that here, believers experience believers experience a state of conscious bliss in the presence of the Lord. That means when a believer dies, this traditional Orthodox, you immediately are in the presence of the Lord. Unbelievers are tormented by separation from the presence of God. But here, this, however, is a relatively incomplete state when compared with the final destiny of each. We'll clarify. Some groups, such as Seventh-day Adventists, have held a belief in a type of soul sleep. Seventh-day Adventists believe in soul sleep or unconsciousness. You are just unconscious. That's all. If you die now, you are just unconscious. You are not anywhere. That's Seventh-day Adventists. Between death and resurrection, you are just hanging, unconscious. You don't know anything. Still, others, notably Roman Catholics, believe in a place called purgatory in preparation for the future life. Now, one thing about such authors like this and evangelicals like this is that they are careful. They just stay in the middle because they know there are different views. But please, this thing almost put me in trouble. But let me and you talk. Bible agrees with each other. Yes or no? Yes. There are those who say once you die, you go to heaven. Mm-hmm. Abi? Yes. Those are the traditional Orthodox belief. But I ask, if you say so, then what did Paul mean by when the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first? If they are already dead, what are they rising to do? You didn't follow what I've said.
Yes.
And we that are alive shall be caught up. So they are not up. That's why they are rising.
Yes,
sir. It's a simple amen.
Amen.
Please, you have right to question. You know, we're raising issue of has paradise now changed and all of that. This is a very, you see, just read your Bible. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And all of us shall what? Shall be with the Lord. So that tells me that you can't rise first if you're already in heaven. You're already in heaven. We should be talking about when the trumpet shall sound, those that are alive, we should not be talking about those that have died in Christ, shall arise first. That that arise first should not be there. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Aha. That's why I said, leave mysteries to who? There are some areas of eschatology that sincerely, just talk what the Bible said and do what? And leave it there. Wait, don't do this. Because if you start, eschatology is so wide. Is God we are not? What we saw in the Word of God, the dead in Christ shall watch. There are different names that people have said. Now, I believe that when those who are of the Lord, and that I cannot take time now, because of time. But if you raise questions later, probably we could answer it. I believe that when you die, you are not suffering where you are, if I believe.
You are not repenting
there. You are not suffering there. But there is a future, which means you shall what? You shall rise. Now, maybe paradise has not been changed. This one that has been changed, whatever. Mm-mm. Bible is very coherent. And if you look at the scriptures, if you are very, very patient, you will see that there's no confusion. Now, the people that put me into trouble, they said no, that what I'm saying is wrong. That all believers, once they die, they are in the presence of the Lord. Now, I wouldn't say they are not in the presence of the Lord, because where they are, His presence is there. Oh, you are not following me. It can't be that they went to a place where His presence is not there. Do you get the view? His presence is there. I would not doubt that they will see Jesus even. You are not with me. But that does not remove the fact that there is still a future that they are rising to. The description of that place. Have you been there before? Aha, you can't tell us. Most time people say they see heaven. I believe it's paradise they saw, because nobody has ascended yet.
Yes, sir.
No, that's what Jesus said. Nobody. Only Him. Have you read that scripture that says only Him has ascended? The only person that ascended is the person that descended. Yes. So how can you tell us you have gone there when He said nobody has gone? Those are the issues. Leave mysteries to God. Now, those are the, you see, you are reading Bible sometimes to say, God, sincerely, you know, what did you remember when I was raising the issue of Bible yesterday, and I said you there are some things. You remember?
Yes,
that just read it. The Bible didn't say Elijah is at the throne of God. Bible didn't say so.
He was caught up with chariots.
Yes. The Bible says he was caught up with chariots. No, we even need to now check it. Thank you for that clause, but we need to check it. The other thing is that, listen, in the Hebrew translation, you know, sometimes that's why we talk about NIV translations, and that's why we say study. Because sometimes, hope you know, the word spirit, pneuma, can be used in different means. So also the word heaven. Because you just see heaven in the Bible doesn't mean the heaven of God. No. So it's large. That's why, you know, that's why I started with introduction. Eschatology is large. The Enoch, was he caught up? Was Enoch caught up? No. They just didn't find him. We know two people didn't taste death. That's Elijah and Enoch. The mystery of why they didn't taste death, we don't know. There are some theologians that said the two witnesses that Revelation said will come, they are the ones. No, Bible didn't say they are the ones. But that since it is that every man must die, if you are human, it's either you die or you are raptured, that they will come back. All of those is not our edict. For me, it's not an edict. It's not an edict to argue on. Whether they are the ones or not, in whose hand is that one? The Lord. Who is that?
Coming.
There's everybody. Take this. Go and look for people. It's not here you come to buy anything. Alright? So, there are things we should not worry our head on. That's when I was studying to a point, it's as if my head wanted to scatter. Because the mystery of the last days, even Jesus told us that the Father, the time is going to come. The angels don't know. The Son of Man, Mary and Joseph was raising the issue of maybe he knew as the Word, but he didn't know as the Son of Man. So don't just take it as Jesus said it. Period. To want to try to begin to so many things. So now, you want to go and find out where are the places where the apostles taught on the last days. Go and find it. And on the issue of death, we know that none of us is arguing about there is a judgment. Hallelujah. If there is a judgment according to Revelation, it means all that died have not been judged yet. Oh, are you following me? Ha! Second, do you think Jesus Christ, who is the bridegroom, will present us one by one?
No.
How will He present us?
Oh.
Together. Now, there's no time for me to go into scriptures. All these things I'm noting, write it down. You will go and study. Scripture established it. He's not going to be presenting us one by one. Gideon has entered now. They present it. How many people will die this minute? He doesn't present us one by one. That's why he said at the last trump, he said, those of us that are left shall be what? Caught up. You see, that means, how many of you confirm this? If not, let's go and open it. That Paul said, they will not be there first. Oh, he used that statement. He said, we shall be caught up, and all of us as a conglomerate church shall be with the Lord. First Thessalonians. So they will not prevent us such that they will be there first, then we will now. Please go and read your Thessalonians very well. So why is it that we shall be caught up to meet with them? That tells you something about uniformity. Read their Bible. Are you following me, Joseph? That tells you about uniformity. If he says, they rise, we are caught up. Caught up shows that there's something about uniform. That the father is interested. It's not this somebody come home, that one come home, that one come home. There's a reservation. Now, the mystery of where those people are, I don't know. All I know is that wherever they are, it's not an empty place. Wherever they are, it can't be outside the presence of the Lord. Are you following me? Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, are we on earth? Are we in the presence of the Lord?
No.
Eh? So why do you not think, when I die, I will stop being in the presence of the Lord?
It's not the presence of God. It's going to be torment.
It will be torment. Because what makes torment is that the presence of God has left.
Mm-hmm. So those that die unbelievable, would they be punished?
We will touch that. Because those are eschatological studies on death. And the Bible answered that. And you see, the issue is that before, when you preach the message, people believe and that's all. But people are raising such questions now. Now, let's go on. Did you get that, man? Intermediate state. Now, what's your stand? Assuming there's another example, I'll say, what's your stand? My stand is the stand of the apostles. All of them taught the same thing. It's not confusing. That all of us will be presented together. The mystery of how that place is, whether it's below, whether it's in the middle, that's not our headache. The headache is that they will rise. Are we together? If you go to the book of Revelation, Revelation talked about also rising.
Yes.
Are we together? Aha. So please, let's see that. How are all of us going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? At the final day, the resurrection will be equal, uniform, the same. You know, Paul talked about there's terrestrial body, there's celestial body. He said this body shall be what? In the twinkling of an eye shall be what? Changed. So, it's together. But also, wherever those that died in Christ are, it can also be outside the presence of the Lord. Do you see where Orthodox traditional people, they are also right. Though they are in a way incomplete, that is a conscious, not just conscious something. It's a place. Hallelujah. Third, the second coming. The intermediate state. Third, the second coming. Can you imagine? That's not the focus. Second coming. Scripture teaches that at the end of time, Christ will return in a personal bodily form. How many of you confirm when the angel said to them, he said, the same way you see him. And where is Jesus Christ coming back? To the earth, which spot? Mount of Olivet. Can you imagine? That the same spot where he left is the same spot that he's coming to.
The same way, or the same place.
Did
you just say the same way?
Oh yeah, open your scripture. Because it's good to find out, so that I will know if it's me that is wrong. Let's see Acts 1:11.
Which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?
Mm-hmm.
this same Jesus,
mm-hmm.
which is taken up from you
mm-hmm.
into heaven,
mm-hmm.
shall so come in like manner
mm-hmm.
as ye have seen him go into heaven.
Okay, that's all. Any other? Next verse.
Verse
12.
Then returned they unto Jerusalem
from okay.
the
okay.
mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey.
Okay.
From the mount.
They returned from the mount. Okay. Where did they return from?
They returned from the mount.
So that's the place where he left.
That was
is that not so?
Yeah,
that's Abi. No. That's where I'm going to now. That what that scripture said is the way, not the place. You understand? But I think that I don't want to prolong this study. There have been strong theological teachings that is the same place. Now, see, don't hope you know that scripture we read is the same manner, not the same place. Uh-huh. So, but maybe we should find out. Because there is this that I came across about Mount Olivet, and that is going to come back to that mount. In fact, it's a belief in Israel. So, time will fail me to do a study on that. Now, these people too were so brief. Now, let me ask you. What's the difference between rapture and second coming? Any difference?
I think maybe the rapture, when you talk about the rapture aspect, you talk about what will happen when he comes. Like you're talking from a view of what will happen when he comes.
Wow.
So it's actually just the
same. Wow. Yes, please.
It's different from his own.
Good, that's why we are here.
While I was studying Book of Deuteronomy,
mm-hmm.
I found out that there is the first trump, and there is the trump of God or something. Now there is that first trump which was sounded. That is when rapture takes place,
mm-hmm.
and once rapture takes place. That's when now the second coming is now the millennial reign, Christ coming to reign on earth.
So the rapture is not second coming because Jesus Christ did not come to the earth. We will go and meet him in the air. So at rapture is not coming. We are only going to meet him at the air. We are caught up. The saints are caught up to meet with Christ, so he's not coming. So I believe the second coming is that millennium.
Thank you.
Yeah. What do you experience?
Now, we need to do a study. Are we together?
So they call it second coming.
Now, yes. So there have been people who believe that second coming is rapture, also, but second coming is not rapture. Because the first coming, he came bodily. That's why that one says, in like manner. The second coming is going to come down.
In the same manner.
It's coming. There are things around second coming. See, I was doing a study on Matthew 24. Eschatology is large. You need to sit down and observe well to note that this is different. But do you know that if you hold another view that rapture and second coming is all part of second coming, you still are not still wrong. You didn't follow. That rapture is the beginning of the second coming. Are you with me? You are still not wrong. Because actually, rapture is the preceding event for the second coming. So if we treat it as the event of his second coming, one, rapture. But you cannot consummate the second coming in rapture. Do you understand? When you are sent to a preaching in a church that holds rapture, our second coming, are you with me? And they have stood on it for years. Don't teach like that. If you teach and say rapture is meant from second coming, you will dislodge their heart because they trusted the authority of their pastor. But the truth is, he that view has a balance. Esoterical views are strong views. So rapture is the precedence that starts off the second coming. Because true or untrue, when rapture takes place, he still says he shall appear in the. Is that not so? He has not come, but. So, now, millennial ring, those are deep, deep issues. Let me ask you, what's 1 millennium?
1,000.
What would Jesus be doing here for 1,000? You know what 1,000 years means? No, we don't even know. No, forget it. If you now say it's not like our own, you are bringing a serious theology here. You had better stay with our 1,000 years. Because if you say 1,000 years like a day before God, and he will reign for 1 millennium, you are dealing with like forever. Wait. Let's finish that. And in the millennial reign, there are so many things. Hope you know the saints are coming back with him. You understand? And blah, blah, blah. Yes, but that's why I said we can't. If the scripture confirms, in the millennial reign, it's not coming just to come alone. And you know, millennial reign is going to be dealing with the kingdom. You know, the issue of his offspring of David, he will sit upon the throne of his father. All of those prophecies will come to pass. That's where Islam now say we marry, have children. See all of those things that Bible didn't talk about.
You come and kill the
Antichrist and all that. So see, eschatology is deep. I think the part you see, one time when I was studying, I just said, God, please, how you want to do your last days is you. The one that concerns me is the first resurrection. No, that's to be honest. That's the word concern. In fact, that's what the gospel is about. You remember that our aim? I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Don't tell me other things. When I go in rapture, whatever Jesus wants to do, I will follow. Is it not to be a disciple? I will follow. But as far on the earth, I want to worry myself with how it will be. No, it's not like that. There's no need. That's why we stay within the boundaries of balance in eschatology. And when you are teaching disciples, please don't go and offend the word of God. You know, the book of Revelation says anybody that had God shall hard the plagues. So you don't want to touch. Please. Just say it that this is what he said. Period. Somebody has to say, no, God actually is the one that knows that one. That's why some other things that probably I have seen in scripture, I just say, look, please. No idea. Because when you begin to deal with the number 666, hope you know that's eschatology. What does the Bible say about 666? It simply said it is the number of a man. Period. He that has wisdom should learn the number, for it is the number of a man. Why is this 666? What is your headache? What if it's 777? I don't know. Why they choose to make it 666? Of course, there are insinuations that 6 is the number for man. Because man was created on the 6th day. So, are you following? That the Antichrist is a threefold man, like we have Trinity for heaven. This is also the Trinity that is against the Trinity. Are you seeing applications? But now, whether true, because you now talk about the false prophets, the beasts, whatever, want to rule the economy, government. There are a lot of things so people raise. But what did the scripture say? It is the number of a man. Are you with me? Now, did the scripture tell us about how they will receive disease, whether it will be by vaccine or by microchip? Don't worry your head about that. You know, some people are also saying, let's be careful. It's 666 so that we should not collect it. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Because there's a lot of fear now that Satan is finding a way for you to collect 666 so that you will not go by a free rapture. Bible never taught like that. There will be no forcing of 666 on a believer. Oh.
Can you give me this? Hope you are not getting too tired of this. You're laying back.
Let's just finish it up. Praise the Lord. So, the 666 is, we just stop at where the Bible stops. And then vaccine, maybe 666, so that if you receive it, 666 will be your body, so that if raptured, you know, the Bible never taught that. We are in the world, we are not of the world. If the world is asking me to receive a vaccine, for example, now you can't step out of Nigeria now without vaccine. The professors that came to teach us from US must be vaccinated. It's a must. I want to go and preach in Benin now. If I'm going to Benin, we must receive vaccine. Are we going to, because of that, not go and preach the gospel? And the Bible never said you'll be forced like that. You will know it is the 666. And by the judgment of scriptures, it's not a 666 before rapture. All this tribulation, whatever, we are going. Because the Bible says he had delivered us from the wrath to come.
Yes, sir.
We are not going to be part of the wrath of God.
Yes, sir.
According to the teaching of scripture, the church will not be a part of the wrath of God. That's the reason why we receive Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Who took the rod on the cross? We are not going to be part.
Thank you, sir.
This thing, it has scattered during this COVID-19.
Now, COVID-19 period, you are seeing all kinds of, and it's funny.
So some elders came online to teach this thing.
Some people said God told them. That's why this issue of God told me. Read your Bible again. Go back to Thessalonians. Go to Corinthians, chapter 15. Look at it well. We notice that the wrath of God has nothing to do with Christians. God will be unjust to visit his wrath on his children. We are not going to be part. Some people will go and quote Matthew 24 that except the days were shortened. And that's why I say Matthew 24 is another case. Go and find out he's dealing with Israel. No. There are some part of that prophecy that has been fulfilled. Some part, Matthew 24. There are some part of that prophecy that has been, there are some part that has not been fulfilled, because in 1948, Israel was restored.
Yes, sir.
And there are so many speculations. So, hope you know, if you are dealing with eschatology, you are looking at the following books: Daniel, Revelation. Those two are principal. Then you now begin to look at the Gospels like Matthew, Luke, Thessalonians, Corinthians. Those are major. Brother Peter also spoke in passing. He just talked about everything shall be dissolved under a fervent heat and all that. That's all he said. So 666 to think that 666 will be, and I did not know, so I missed rapture. That was, so you useless the works of Christ. No, it's too off. It's very off. It's not biblical. It's not balanced. And this is not the first vaccine that people think is this. There have been so many things. There have been yellow fever vaccine. There have been all kinds of vaccines. Now, but please take note of this. There are some things that we will not be forced to take. It will be clear this is wrong. Like, for example, if they now begin to say they will open our body to put microchip, ion, iron inside flesh. You know that is an extreme for a believer. But to tell you that CCCs will meet us, because if you say CCCs will meet us, you are simply going to have to agree with the Bible. Because the Bible said nobody will be able to buy or sell. But now we are buying and selling without a mark. Vaccine, you take vaccine or don't take vaccine, does not affect your buying and selling. But one of the proof of that mark is, except that without the mark, you can't buy and sell. You can't eat. Imagine we Christians going through that stress. No, rapture. You remember Thessalonians said something. Is it Thessalonians or Corinthians? He said, oh, there's no time to look at the scriptures, because I don't want to quote it off. Because the way the scripture put it, he said, until he that letteth is taken away. That's the King James language. That's when the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, will be revealed. Mm. Have you read it before?
Yes.
Oh, you've not read it. He said, the Antichrist is not here because of an hindrance. Please go back to 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. What's the hindrance for the Antichrist? The church. Please, apart from what other similitude or comparison does the Bible compare the church? The church is compared to be a woman. And the church also compared to be a man. Unto a perfect man. Unto the fullness of the stature of Christ. And also, the church is called it's referred to with the feminine gender. Oh, praise the Lord. Please study. But will you do that? Please study. I beg of you. So that sometimes you are reading the Bible, they are talking about the church, but they use the word E. They are talking about the church, they use the word A. You see, when there is time, it's a whole study. Please take notes. The church as a bride is a woman. It's an old study. Please take notes. So, it's big. One, death. Two, intermediate stage. Three, second coming. Four, resurrection. Do I need to say much about resurrection? No, now. We will all resurrect. Whether unto eternal life or into eternal death. You understand? Yeah. Judgment. Do you have a problem with judgment? Exactly. And there are different views. But the truth is that the white throne judgment talks about those whose name is not found in the book of life. And I cannot imagine that we have gone with rapture. We will now come back and face judgment.
That after rapture, that we can't face judgment.
That judgment, what is judgment?
Judgment.
Evaluate and to prove your worth. We know of reward for all believers, which will take place before the Lord, before Christ, is a judgment. But that judgment of, what will you say on the judgment day? That is not to the believer that has been raptured. He has nothing to say on the judgment day. The judgment is that rapture. If he's judged correct, he goes. If he's judged incorrect, he stays. Oh, you didn't follow me.
I understand, but because there are several movies and things like that.
No, yes, a lot. Even Christian movies. Even the ones we have acted.
So what I'm talking about that judgment.
Yes.
That white throne judgment.
You see, it's time. Me and you will have studied judgment in the Bible and we'll take it. You will find this out. What did Christ came to save us from? The judgment of God. The wrath of God. What did the book of Revelation say about white throne judgment? If you're a student of the Bible, let me hear you.
It reveals the secret.
What was it practically that it pointed to?
Sinners.
Read it. He says, and I saw the dead give up the dead, this, and that, and all stand before the white throne judgment. He said, and all whose name is not found in the book of life was cast. Now, hear this. Rapture. Is rapture the final thing? The final of the final? No. Rapture is not the final of the final of the final. No. And see, there's no time. In the book of Revelation, starting from chapter 20, you begin to hear first death, second death, first resurrection. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Hope you know is when you are reading the book of Revelation, it now says, he who was part of the first resurrection, say, on him, the second death has no power.
Power, yes, sir. Revelation 20.
And where will people receive the judgment of the second death? White throne. Is a mysterious understanding. Now, we have that we ourselves will be judged. Mm-hmm. Our works and reward. Hope you know we have judgment and reward. Mm-hmm. Now, there are different schools of thought. But have this balance in your mind. We are not judged to reveal our error. Let me, how many of you have, if you have not confirmed this statement, please let's open it. He said, the Christ redeemed us so that we can be blameless. Eh? Who are you trying to judge? Somebody that you want to find the blame. When somebody is beyond blame, should he stand before judgment? Are you following this?
Yes, sir.
Why do you bring somebody to the court? To prove his innocence. But somebody had already advocated and presented those blameless. That's why we could be transfigured in rapture. They are not going to reprove our blame. Because all blame has been given to who?
To Jesus.
Jesus! Our own judgment is what? Is different. What's their point?
That we have been redeemed and there is no more condemnation.
Let me let you know that eternal salvation is the right doctrine. Is the approach. Has to say my cooperation is not involved. You are wrong. That's the problem. What Christ came to do, if you understand Holy Communion, Holy Communion is that I ate his body, drank his blood. I'm a part of him. The same way husband and wife cannot be separated. But what brings in the union of husband and wife? Agreement. If I don't agree, as long as I agree with Christ every day, what happens when rapture takes place? I'm going. See, I was teaching my wife something. I said, do you know the meaning of redemption? Which is based upon the covenant of the blood. The only requirement is abide. Period. I said, this idea of 30 minutes to go, rapture to faith, didn't go. I said, it's not biblical. He who was redeemed, I said, if it remains 25 minutes to go, Holy Spirit has a way of preparing you. It's called the seal of redemption. Don't you read Ephesians 5 that says that's the seal of redemption. His work is to ensure you don't lose it. And honestly, will not fail. The only thing they ask of you is what? Cooperate. That's the requirement. My headache is, you say, whether I cooperate or don't cooperate. No, you are wrong, sir. But if I abide, it's a sure banker. Go and open your Bible. This is where Paul began to say joy unspeakable. That we are part of the church whose name is written. That, you know, Paul said from Hebrews, he said, you are come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, unto innumerable company of angels. Do you remember that scripture? He said, the church of the firstborn, whose names are written. That is Christ now.
Okay.
You know, Christ was begotten son.
Okay.
But after he rose from the dead, he became firstborn. When he came, he was the only begotten. When he rose, he became the firstborn. Because he told me to go and tell my brethren. Brethren means I became the first. They are now my brothers. By resurrection, we became joint heirs with Christ. And he's sure. Rapture is sure. That's why it is joy unspeakable. That's why the Holy Spirit, the helper, you will see him connecting you. He will not wait till... No. See, I said, if it remains 25 minutes to rapture, he will alert you. He may not know the exact time, as it were. Nobody knows. But see, he has a... The Spirit searches all things. Yea, the what? The deep things of God. You can't miss rapture, because to miss rapture is to waste the blood and the covenant. I saw something in my Bible this morning, James chapter 17, and the Lord told me, you see covenant there. Covenant is powerful. In James 17, the Lord said, as for me, my covenant is with you. And the Bible now said, as for you, that's what the Lord said to Abraham. I saw it clearly. I said, hey, God, if you see, he said, as for me, my covenant is with me. He now said, as for you, you shall do this. Every of your male son shall be circumcised in their foreskin. What does that show you? In every covenant, there is what? As for me, there is what? As for you. Two people. How do you now say covenant deals with one person's decision? Once I'm saved, I'm forever. No. Yes, you are. Based on an agreement. Jesus said, abide. And John chapter 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him does not commit sin. Period. Can we be in sin? Grace be abound. No. Eternal salvation is real. But if you don't cooperate, you lose it. It's not that if God took it from you, you are the one that walked away from it. You refuse to fulfill your part of the word. Please take note. Each time you are thinking of salvation, think of covenant. Because it's covenant. Salvation is the covenant between Jesus and God. And he now invited us into that covenant. So what did they say? Please, how do you say? Receive Jesus. Is that not it?
Yes, sir.
The word receive shows you can reject. The word receive shows you can reject. But enforce Jesus shows you don't have choice. So don't tell me what I received, that it was me who received it. They didn't say it's a gift, but I must what? Receive. Each time you introduce the word take, that I can stretch my hand, connote that I can reject it. But if they don't use the word take, it means that what? It was enforced. If you come back and teach me that salvation is enforced, then you can come back and say that either you sin or not, since it's an enforcement, you're going to heaven. But once it is not an enforcement but a covenant that I have to be part of, it is not so. Eternal salvation is real on the basis of what? Agreement. On the basis of mistakes, he advocates. On the basis of deliberate sinfulness, you are not in the covenant. Because you can't be in it and deliberate. On the basis of weakness, you are still liable to sin because sin is still sweet to you. That's different. You know, sin can be sweet to you, but your spirit, there's an hatred. But there's a weakness. The Father understands that. That's why he finds you teachers. He finds you disciples. He finds you elders. He shows you example. But after he does that, there's a state of knowledge that you reach that you can say, no, I don't follow this way. That's apostasy. There are many weak children of God who don't like sin, but they enjoy sin. And it is not them that enjoy it. It's the flesh. Each time they are dumb, what do they do? That's why we have to wait for rapture. That's why Jesus Christ is not coming now. What will he present to the Father? Emptiness? No. What is he doing by giving gifts unto men? Pastors, apostles, so that what? Can fill them up. The greatest joy of the Father is not birth, for maturity. Take note that when a soul repents, they say the angels rejoice. But they don't say the Father rejoice. When did they say the Father rejoice? He said, in this is my Father glorified. When ye bear fruit. Are you seeing that? What gives a father joy? Is it the birth of a baby? Is the growth. When did the father speak over Jesus? On the ground of maturity. This is my son. Did he speak when he was born? Who are the people we saw when he was born? Angels. Angels. So. Okay. Okay, bro. Okay. So, the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. I don't think you have a problem with judgment. And then the final state, of course, you don't have a problem with final state. How will our final state be? There we go. Joy. If you see your family member go to hell, it will pain you. How? In the presence of the Lord.
I can't even remember.
Will you see them? I don't know. You see, those other issues that we are saying, if you have thought, like that too, but the Lord is helping me. No, no. Where will you be to be seeing peeping into hell to see how people are burning? Is it that the Lord wants to show us how they are burning? He said we are going to be with Him, and in His presence, there's no sadness. The idea of, if I get there, I don't see my family members. There are new family members. Are you following me now? The joy of those who we are going to be with in heaven far supersedes biological connection. Oh, this class is silent now.
Family by blood. The blood of man.
Hallelujah. You know, and we have done a lot of drama, movies. That is not orthodox. it's not. Yes. So the Lord will strengthen us. Please, would you do me a favor? If there's anything I want to beg you to do, study. And then finally, the millennium. And so, you see, let's just stop here. Because of millennium, oh God, there are views. Yes, that's the last one. So, when you as a Bible teacher wants to talk on millennium, just say, no matter what you believe and what will happen, there are going to be kingdoms that is going to assign us, we are going to be governors. Are we going to be doing election and campaign? It's large. Millennium teaching is large. Just know that I want to go with Rachel. Whether when we come back, Christ will now make me a governor of Asia. I don't know. All I know, I want to be with Him. Amen. Mm-hmm. If there is peace with me. If there is. Please, I need to finish what I'm saying. Let me tell the sister to follow. Yes. To follow her. Three of them, they will come back with us. Now. All right. Now, the last part I want to speak to you on. I believe we didn't waste time.
Yes, this is very precious.
I don't know how best to speak to you that will beg you to live the crucified life. I don't know how. If there's anything I wanted to, that the greatest thing I wanted to talk about, live the crucified life, a life of the cross. If there's anything I see, God will call me and say, Inga, forget all these things people are saying. How crucified are you? This is the matter as a minister of the gospel. I found out from scripture that the pathway to life is death. I have fumbled several times, but I see God will send me back. The crucified. That it is no longer I. Unfortunately, if God now begins to do something with you, and it became obvious that this thing God is doing, fortunately carries the utterance. He takes the crucified life for me to be relaxed with you. And I will not feel threatened as your leader. Complete rest, I will follow you. Since it's about that, it's the Lord. The present problem today in the body of Christ is the life that is not crucified. Very fair. The only way to be a good husband is to be crucified. And what's crucifixion? Death. Death simply means I'm not aware of anything that has to do with me. If a crucified minister stands on pulpit, life will flow. I have proven it. I've proven this thing. I have sometimes I've fumbled and I hear the Lord say, you went there alive, not crucified. You went there conscious of yourself. What will make the work of the seed sowers accepted? Accepted in what sense? That somebody will say, brother, God used you to affect our life. Where are you people from? Is the crucified life in you? Is the only challenge. I look at the Bible and say, why must Jesus die? Is that the life he brought from heaven cannot come out until he dies. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies. It abides in him. So Jesus moved from begotten to firstborn by death. Because by being firstborn, brethren were added. And the pathway is death. I don't know how to send you forth than to say your everyday evaluation is how crucified am I to the cross. If there's anything I'm begging God every day, Lord, does this show a crucified life? This thing I'm doing today, does it show that I'm crucified? Is that everyday matter? I don't know a day that this does not enter my consciousness. Maybe on rare occasions. I can put this in that of 365 days. I don't think this has escaped me for 5 days. If there is, it's a continual. How am I crucified? Does this show that there's nothing on this earth that moves me? I have seen myself sometimes. They invite me in some of these big churches and then they put my name. I've seen myself wanting to see my name on poster and my picture. And again, I will come back and say, is that crucified? Why do I want my name on the poster? If I'm not given the respect and the honor due, what if Christ gets it? Is that not enough? Why must I be relevant? What's the point of my wanting to be relevant in life and ministry? Okay, what's the reason? When I say I want to be fulfilled, on what ground? There's nothing wrong with fulfillment, but on what ground? Is it on ground of a satisfaction of something different from Jesus? It's a daily matter for all of us. Lord, and once you discover that this uncrucified, repent immediately. Say, Lord, it's not a crucified life. My response is not crucified. In the little that I know, the little I know, I have seen God introduce himself in places we didn't bargain for. And the Lord will say, don't focus on that. Focus on that crucified life. Because the life that oozes out of you will convict me. You yourself will not know what you are preaching. It's the result you'll be seeing. I said, Tom, what did we even say, self? And it's like this. How you preach is not the issue. It's the weight of the life. Of the message. That's, it's not how you preach. It's not how you shout. It's not starting in it and starting off strong. The word, it's not that. It's not the earnestness of your voice. It's the life that follows. The crucified. You see, if every staff of this work can be crucified on a daily basis, the resurrected life. See, I have not seen any power that will limit us. And I don't know how crucified you will be, that the grace of God over your life will not be carved out, even in his work. To be struggling for space is a sign of uncrucified life. Baba normally will carve out space for a man that's crucified. I have seen that happen. Not because I'm privileged to be the leader, even before we came to this work. I'm telling you. Like myself and my wife was discussed, we didn't plan this as ministry. That's why for one day, somebody asked me again this time. He said, oh, are you a founder? I said, I'm not. I work with a team of brothers. Because I've seen that the pathway is there. This is where we stop. We're coming back tomorrow, by God's grace, by 7:30. I'm going to speak in tongues for 30 minutes, 7:30 to 8. I'm going to pray for an hour. And then I will commit you to God. So, I hope you have not graduated from Jesus. I hope there's nobody here that will graduate from discipleship and say, I'm a winner, please. You've inducted us. I didn't induct you. Hope you know that. We are just going to gather here. It's a spiritual thing that's going to happen tomorrow. Very spiritual. And that's why I want you to take a few time to pray tonight. This is for 30 minutes. Lord, I'm going to be bearing on my head and on my life a seed. That is it. I'm going to be spending time with prayer on it. Whether in the night, whether tomorrow morning, early, whatever. But it's very meaningful to me. It's a symbolic meaning, not the oil, but symbolic. Yes. And that when that comes upon you, is a mark from heaven. Look. Publicly now, we've announced you. Hope you know before, we just prayed for you in house. But now, brethren in the body of Christ, other people are going to witness as the talk. But unfortunately, it was anointed as a man of God there. We used to play with man of God, but the official thing is Lena. Yes, I showed you my own induction picture today. When I was inducted in Barrick in Ladi, Plateau State. And the same thing I hear God say is what I'm saying to you. If you go crucified, it doesn't matter if any sisters mature or not, then the life will not. It is as God works on you that he can work on others. Hope you know, Simeon told Mary, he said, a sword shall go through your soul, that the thought of many hearts. When he went to present Jesus Christ for circumcision, you remember Simeon and Annas. A sword, that's Simeon Annas, one of the two said it. A sword shall go through your own soul, that the thought. So, the sword that went through the heart of Mary was what? The cross. The pain of the cross. So, and as that is occurring, hope you know it is the cross that is going to expose the depravity of the heart of man. So I found out that it is when God has dealt with my heart that he can deal with others. The proportion of God's dealing on me, that's God will say, Tom, since I have dealt with you on this, you now have a message. You see, you don't have a message if you don't have the dealing. You can have a topic, not a message. You can have a topic. You can have a discussion, not a message. I'm hoping that when you get to Nigerian Army, you will stand like this. And you didn't say much, but there's something. I've seen weight, sir. I've seen weight of message by the grace of God. Not once, not twice. It doesn't happen everywhere, but I have seen places I've gone to, men are inside in dust because I finished preaching. I'll just go somewhere and say, don't focus on that result. One broader result is the crucified life. We are going to see miracles, but it's on the crucified life. And if this takes us to death, amen. Let nobody struggle for space. To struggle for space is a sign you will not last. Let's pray. Let's pray. In 5 minutes, it's going to be exactly 5 minutes. Talk to God. Just talk to Him. It's a crucial time. Very symbolic.